My name is Frank Driscoll, and welcome to Driscoll's Election Dissection, your election analysis for Across the Circus. I hope you all are doing well today, wherever you are. So today we are discussing primary elections set to take place on Tuesday, June 25th, 2024. And three U.S. states will be holding their primary elections that day, those states being Colorado, New York, and Utah. Now, if you listened to my show before, you know that I'll go to Ballotpedia.com, check out the battleground elections, and those are the ones we're talking about, because those are the ones that will be closely analyzed by political analysts across the country. Well, despite only three states holding primary elections, there are a lot of battleground races for that day. In fact, today, we are talking about 11 different primary elections. You heard that right, 11. So, we're going to be doing this show a little differently than usual. I would take time to really analyze each race, but this episode would probably go pretty long if we did. So, it would probably be more of a rapid-fire type thing, you know? If there is an interesting polling or fundraising thing, we might get to it, but we'll see. But we just want to go and get all these out of the way. So, with that, let's not waste any time, and let's get right to it. So to start, let's pack our bags and head to the centennial state, the state of Colorado. So Colorado has 8 congressional districts, and we're going to be talking about 4 of them here today. And coincidentally, all 4 of these races are Republican primaries. Now, for some of them, they are solid Republican seats, meaning the winner of the primary will very likely win the general election, but there is a toss-up in between here as well, a race that we'll look forward to in November, which could alter the balance of the U.S. House. So we'll start in District 3. According to Cook's PVI, Republicans are favored by 7 points in this district. Now, the current representative is Representative Lauren Boebert, who has gained a lot of news over the past couple of years for saying some controversial stuff and controversial actions. She is not running for re-election to her seat, but she's not exactly leaving the U.S. House of Representatives. More on that later. In the 3rd congressional district, there are 4 major candidates, and those candidates are financial advisor Russ Andrews, former state representative Ron Hanks, attorney Jeff Hurd, and State Board of Education member Stephen Varela. So with that, we go next door to District 4. Now, District 4 is an interesting case because the seat is currently vacant. In fact, there is a special election set to take place on June 25th to determine who's going to hold that seat. And we didn't discuss the primary for that because, well, it was very uncompetitive. And the current Republican candidate is ex-SBA State Director Greg Lopez, and he is all but certain to win the special election. However, he is not running in the regularly scheduled election for the seat, which makes the seat open again. So formerly, Ken Buck held this seat, but he resigned in March, and now this election will determine who holds it until January. But the primary will decide who could potentially hold that seat starting in January. And in his race, there are 6 major candidates. Yes, 6. They are incumbent Congresswoman from Colorado's 3rd congressional district, Lauren Boebert. See, I told you. Also, radio show host Deborah Flora, State Representative Richard Hultorf, former State House Minority Leader Mike Lynch, Logan County Commissioner Jerry Sonnenberg, and mortgage banker Peter Yu. And then we'll go next door again to District 5. The current representative for District 5 is Republican Doug Lamborn, and he is retiring, leaving the seat open. And for this solid Republican seat, oh, also I should mention that the 4th congressional district has a Cook PVI of 13 points. Yes, the 5th congressional district has a PVI of 9 points favored by the Republicans. And there are only 2 candidates, though, and those candidates are political consultant Jeff Crank and state GOP chair Dave Williams. And finally, we'll go to District 8. Now, the current representative for District 8 is Democratic Representative Yadira Caraveo. And this district has an even Cook PVI rating, which means it is a literal coin flip on who's going to win this election. And Yadira Caraveo is a one-term congresswoman. So she's very vulnerable to the Republicans. So with that, there are two major Republican candidates, those being State Representative Gabe Evans and former State Representative Janik Joshi. So District 8 will be a race to watch come November, but the Republican primary will be one to watch too. So that's all for Colorado. So now, we'll head to the Empire State, the state of New York. So for the state of New York, we're talking about three congressional seats, and two of them are currently held by Republicans, but we're all talking about Democratic primaries because these races could be very competitive come November, and whoever the Democratic nominee is could make the race very important. So to start, we'll go to District 1. So the current representative for New York's first congressional district is one-term Republican Congressman Nick LaLotta. And this, according to the Cook's PVI, is favored by Republicans by 3 points. Which could be good for the Republicans, but the Democrats see it as a place to gain a seat in a very divided Congress. So there are two major candidates. Those candidates are former CNN show anchor John Avlon and college professor Nancy Goreff. Now we'll head to District 16. Now, District 16 is a very Democratic district. Democrats are favored by 20 points over there, according to the PVI. The current congressman is Jamal Bowman, Democrat, first elected in 2020, and defeated a longtime incumbent, Elliot Engel, in the primary. However, he is facing a challenger more to his right, as he is a very progressive congressman. His opponent is Westchester County Executive George Latimer. An important thing to note about this race. Now, both candidates have raised about $9 million in between them. However, satellite groups, and this is according to Ad Impact, satellite groups have spent over $23 million on both candidates, with money going to them, money going against them, and everything in between. This makes this the most expensive primary election in the history of the U.S. House of Representatives. Not primary elections just in the state of New York, for the U.S. House, primaries for the U.S. House, period. And that is going to be the race to watch out of all of the ones we're talking today. So keep an eye on that one. And from there, we go to District 22. Now, District 22 is favored by Democrats by 1 point, meaning it is very close. Despite that, there is a Republican representative in that seat, one-term Congressman Brandon Williams. In the Democratic primary, there are two major candidates. They are DeWitt Town Councilwoman Sarah Clee Hood and State Senator John Mannion. And the Democrats are hoping whoever wins this race can hopefully get the seat back. So there are a bit of similarities here between Colorado and New York. Very competitive primary elections for safe seats as well as competitive primaries for toss-up seats. You know, just goes to show you how big our nation is. There are a lot of similarities. And from there, our last stop today, we head to the Beehive State, the state of Utah. Now, unlike the previous two states where the most competitive races are for the U.S. House, today we're talking about the governor's race, a Senate race, and a House race. All three. So we'll start on the governor side of things. The current governor is Governor Spencer Cox. He was first elected governor in 2020. And over the years, he's been seen as a moderate Republican that has acquired a challenge from his right, where his only opponent in the primary is State Representative Phil Lyman. And with Utah being one of the most Republican states in the country, this is a good indicator to see whether the Republican establishment of said state is moving toward the middle or moving toward the right. We'll just have to wait and see. So from there, we head to a Senate race. Now, incumbent Senator Mitt Romney, former 2012 presidential candidate, is retiring from the Senate this year. Oh, and fun fact about Mitt Romney, for those who don't know, former governor of Massachusetts and current senator of Utah. He is one of only three people in the history of the United States to be a governor from one state and a senator from a different one, the more you know. So with his retirement, there is a crowded primary for his place. And as I said before, Utah being a very Republican state thus makes a crowded primary. There are four major candidates, and they are Congressman John Curtis, Mayor of Riverton, Trent Staggs, businessman Jason Walton, and former State House Speaker Brad Wilson. And with this, whoever wins this Senate primary will very likely win in November and could hold this seat for really as long as they please, for all we know. And from there, our final race for today, we head to Utah's 2nd congressional district. Now, to longtime listeners of my show, this district might sound familiar. This was actually one of the first elections I talked about on my show when I started last year. It was a special election for the primary for the 2nd congressional district, won by Celeste Malloy. It's funny how life comes around to you, you know? Anyway, this is a very Republican district. Republicans are favored by 11 points, according to the Cook PVI. And despite that, Celeste Malloy is facing a reputable challenger. She is facing technology executive Colby Jenkins. And it should be noted that I mentioned way back that year that the state of Utah holds conventions to determine who will be on the party's ballot. And Jenkins actually beat Malloy in that vote. However, since Malloy received more than 40% of the votes, she still gets to compete in the primary anyway. This is according to a article from Deseret News. And as always, if you are willing to learn more about elections in your area, be sure to check out politicsone.com as well as ballotpedia.com. Or, as I mentioned more on this episode, be sure to check out Cook's Partisan Voting Index. And if you're willing to look at recent polls, be sure to check out 538.com. I know it was a lot. So thank you for bearing with me on this episode. So those are important elections in Colorado, New York, and Utah for Tuesday, June 25th, 2024. And as always, I say if you are a registered voter in Colorado, New York, or Utah, I don't care who you vote for, but I do care that you vote. So please do. Thank you for listening to Driscoll's Election Dissection. If you would like to learn more about the show, go online to algidproductions.com/acrossthecircus and be sure to listen to us on any podcasting form you like. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you all very soon.
Tuning into this episode proudly presented by the APNM Group, a subsidiary of Algid Productions, LLC. We strive to produce content that informs, entertains, and adds value to your day. We value your input and would be delighted to hear your thoughts in the comments about this episode. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please engage with us in the comments section or via our social media platforms. Your feedback helps us shape our content and uncover new topics that matter to our listeners. If this episode resonated with you, we kindly ask that you rate and review this show on your preferred podcast platform. Sharing this podcast with friends and family helps us reach more listeners and continue delivering content you enjoy. For more information about the podcast, the host, or our parent company, please visit the link in this episode's description. Also visit us on YouTube and Rumble to see and hear every content produced by Algid Productions. Thank you once again for your time and support. Until next time, stay tuned and stay inspired.